Get ready, folks. Ducks in Stony Brook, that school from close to my old stomping grounds, located right smack in the middle of Long Island. Going to say my favorite Seawolf ever, Pat Benatar. Also, you probably recognize Joe Nathan, the former Giants and Twins reliever. The field there is named after him. Our guest, part of the radio coverage. You can follow him on Twitter. Use the handle at Sam Niederman. Sam, greatly appreciate you taking the time to join us. How's life on the island?
It's good, Steve. I appreciate you having me. Things are well. It's about nighttime on the East Coast, and we're hanging here in Suffolk County. The Seawolves are ready to roll, head out to Oregon for a good Pac-12 showdown.
So your Twitter bio says, a Hoosier on Long Island. Assuming you weren't kidnapped, I'd like to, you know, a little personal insight to exactly where you hail from. You know, when were you at Indiana, and, you know, how long you've been involved with the Stony Brook program?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm born and raised in Indianapolis, Indiana, proud Indiana University graduate. I graduated from IU in May 2020, and then I came out here to Long Island to work with Stony Brook in January of 21. So I've been here for the last 9 months, working with our athletic department, broadcasting, and it's been a total blessing getting out here to explore a new part of the country. I had never been to Long Island before. I had very little knowledge of it. And coming out here to Suffolk County has been a lot of fun, just getting to know our athletic department. I love that you gave Nathan a shout-out at the top, one of the most famous alums out of our terrific baseball program, which went to the College World Series in 2012. And he is the namesake for our baseball diamond, which is a great facility. We had a lot of good times there this past spring with an outstanding baseball club that I think will be really good this coming year as well. But been here for 9 months and just really enjoying it. Stony Brook's a great place, and hoping that the Oregon faithful will get to know us a little bit here in the next coming days before kickoff on Saturday afternoon.
So 9 months, I know there are obviously issues with COVID, but have you done the tour? Have you gotten to the Garden? Have you gotten to Yankee Stadium? You know, having grown up there and having grown up in those places, I'm curious what you've got to experience firsthand.
Yeah, I made it to Yankee Stadium in July for the first time, which was pretty surreal. I actually got to go there to cover it as a media member. We did an interview with Travis Jankowski, former Padres player who's been with the Phillies this season. He's a Stony Brook baseball alum who's a part of that 12 College World Series team.
Nice.
And we got to catch up with him on the field before first pitch against the Yankees. So that was pretty cool. Haven't been to a Met game yet. I wanted to go to an Islanders game during their awesome playoff run and see a game at the Coliseum, but I missed out on that. I'm trying to think, what else have I done? I did get to see the Hamptons. I was looking for Howard Stern's house, didn't find it. Haven't been to a football game as far as MetLife Stadium goes, but I haven't been to the Garden. But been in the city. I had been to the city for a couple of day trips before coming out here, but was able to spend a solid weekend there and see some different parts of it. So it's been pretty cool for a Midwesterner getting to see what it's like here in New York.
The Hoosier and the Big Apple, you gotta love it.
And what part are you from, Steve? Are you from New York, New Jersey, Tri-State? Where are you from?
North Jersey, born in Paterson, raised in Wayne, New Jersey. So not too far from the city.
Gotcha.
So this Stony Brook program, the athletic program, it's interesting. All sports are America East. Football's at the FCS level is Colonial. And I've been reading, you know, money spent on facilities. You had some Seawolves who've now made the NFL, Will Tye, Connor Davis, Chris Cooper with Tampa Bay. So would I be accurate to say that there's kind of been a concentrated effort made to really kind of upgrade this program?
You're absolutely right, Steve. I think that's first and foremost a testament to our athletic director, Sean Hilbrun, who's done a terrific job. He's prioritized investing in football. And he actually was a part of Oregon State's athletic department in Corvallis for a number of years before he came over to Stony Brook. So Sean's just been outstanding in the leadership of transforming the look and feel for Stony Brook athletics, kind of exiting into this new era, sort of this 2015 to current era. And now we're into a new chapter with, you know, post-COVID and with conference realignments on the horizon, I think everybody can assess that it's a new era in college athletics. But Sean's done a terrific job with the investments that you mentioned, the new indoor facility that came up a couple of years ago. That's been a huge asset for this football program. Laval Stadium's been a great home base for the football program. In the Colonial, which is a tough FCS conference, the CAA's got some really solid programs. James Madison, first and foremost.
Sure.
Always a tough out. So, yeah, there's a lot of investment in the facilities and athletic department. It's been a good last 10 years for Stony Brook at the Division I level. This is a program as a whole for any sport, Steve, that didn't go D1 until the turn of the century. 20 years of D1 was celebrated 2019. They started in 1999. This football program started back in the 80s. So it's kind of been through a different, you know, kind of phase, but there's a lot of consistent points. Coach Chuck Priori in his 16th year, football guy who prioritizes special teams, prioritizes defense, the fundamentals, not going to shy away from the kicking game, running the football. It's old school football with Coach P, and he calls the plays in the offense this year, which is something that everybody's been really excited about. And we got a little sampling of that in last week's win against Colgate. The team ran the football really well, 287 yards on the ground and a 24-3 cruise. So, yes, there has been an investment in that athletic department, you know, FCS football school. Really nice basketball arena, too, Island Federal Arena, which, if you look at it, kind of reminds me of Oklahoma State's arena with the double deck and some of the Greek font that's on the ledger there. If you look it up on Google, it might remind you of OK State. But, yeah, definitely a lot of investment in athletics as a whole and in football in particular at SBU.
Yeah, IBA Arena, sure. Talking Stony Brook football with radio analyst Sam Niederman. You know, I was looking at some of your more recent non-conference matchups. Utah State out of the Mountain West, they travel to South Florida, Syracuse, but now facing Oregon. And by the way, if timing is king, off one of the biggest victories in program history. So, you know, what's the buzz around the guys, the coaches, about coming to Eugene and taking on this Duck team who just suddenly finds itself number four in the country?
Yeah, you know, I was talking with Joey Mack of the Oregon Sports Network earlier today, and we had a similar conversation. There's a lot of eagerness around the team and around campus to get out to Eugene and go compete. You're right, Steve, the timing could have been more perfect. I mean, what a signature win for Coach Cristobal in Columbus. This is a Stony Brook team that's eager to have the opportunity, and from my point of view, I would argue that this is it's the biggest football program Stony Brook's ever taken on. They've played a number of FBS teams. They beat Army in 2012, which was the team's first win against an FBS opponent. And then they played a number of other teams that you mentioned, Utah State, South Florida, Syracuse, played another service academy in Air Force. So they've been kind of out in that region of the country a little bit, the Mountain West, but never as far as the Pacific Northwest. And never with a program as big as Oregon. I would say, even without the result in Columbus last week, this would still be the biggest team that Stony Brook's ever taken on. You're talking about an Oregon team that, A, you know, they played Power 5 opponents before, but this is out of the Pac-12. It's a team that plays in Rose Bowls, been to a college football playoff, been to a national championship. And, you know, people forget that was a little bit of a revenge game on the Buckeyes there to kind of get in a new generation. But you know, Nike, Eugene, the branding, the sleekness, the aesthetic of Oregon, number four in the country, something that Stony Brook's getting a chance to take on for the first time. It's exactly what the Seawolves like, and a chance to kind of shine on a Pac-12 network televised game. It's a great opportunity, and I think the team is excited to get a crack at it.
You know, I was looking at that Colgate win you alluded to, where they spotted him a field goal and scored the final 24, and an aspect that's got to be successful if there's any shot at history here. Tyson Lawton, a big game running it. What could you tell us about the offensive line and that Seawolves running game?
Yeah, great question, Steve. Kyle Nunez up front, a preseason FCS All-American. He's the anchor of the offensive line at guard. Big guy, 340 pounds. He can get out and pull. He's athletic. He's the leader of that offensive line. And the run game is the focal point of the offense. This is a team that wants to play ball control, dominate, you know, the trenches, play physical. Coach Priori prides himself on having one of the most physical teams in the CAA year in and year out. And I think Stony Brook's answered the bell in that regard consistently. You mentioned Tyson Lawton, great running back. I'd say if Stony Brook wants to have a chance, you know, down the road in contending in its league, it's going to have to feed number seven. Lawton's a really good running back. I talked with him earlier this week at practice, and he's eager to have this chance to play against a competition like Oregon, like a Thibodeau or a Flo, whoever it might be that gets out there on the field healthy. Those are the kind of guys that he wants to line up against. So Lawton's good. Saban Aket, the number two back, is good. He had a nice game against Colgate. And I think the skilled players around Tykel Fields, who's the graduate fifth-year quarterback with a lot of experience, third-year starter, he's got a good complement of receivers to work with. Khalil Newton's a transfer from Ball State. Hunter Hayek's a transfer from Rutgers who will play in the slot. Tyler DeVera is an athletic tight end who can line up in more of like a flex receiver position. Sean Harris has some speed on the outside. So there are a lot of good options for Stony Brook with receivers. I almost forgot Delonte Hellams, who I'd probably say is the best receiver for Stony Brook. Good hands, consistent, can move the chain. So there are some athletes. That's the look at the offensive side of the ball.
Good timing, because I wanted to get to the defense. Talking Ducks and Seawolves, yeah, with Sam Niederman will be on the radio call. The defense obviously going to have to rise up and slow down this Oregon attack that was really clicking at key times last week. And one name that keeps popping up, Carthel Flowers. I know he's a grad student transferred from Eastern Michigan. Seems like he makes plays in the backfield, provides some pressure. What's the kind of book on what an all-around defensive back he is?
Yeah, that's a great highlight right there, Steve. Flowers has been a great get for Stony Brook. You mentioned it, Eastern Michigan transfer. A little bit of a position battle for him coming out of fall camp at the rover spot, which would be equatable to kind of like the star in Oregon's defense, from my understanding. He got the job, and he's been terrific. Good playmaker. I think the defensive backfield's an underrated part of Stony Brook's defense. Rob Knoll, who's the defensive coordinator, former GA under Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern. It's his second year calling the defense, and he'll be up in the booth. But I think he really likes what he's seen out of the last 2 weeks for what he's got on the back end. He challenged this defense to make more plays. They kind of had a little bit of a rough 2019 and then only got to play a few times in the spring. So they've been chomping at the bit to get back to playing Stony Brook defense. It's been a traditional good defense for this program. It's kind of been a run the football, play good defense type of program under Coach Priori. And Coach Knoll really challenged the guys to step up, get back to making plays, takeaways, getting in the backfield. They did lose a few guys to NFL camps. You mentioned Chris Cooper, who made it with the Bucks. You know, that's a good program alum. But even a guy like Sam Kamara, who just left in the spring, got signed by the Bears. He's been with their practice squad. That was a big loss for them up front. Even still, they have playmakers on the D-line like Casey Williams or Mekhi Smith, who have been good at the ends. Brandon Lopez is an interior lineman who's been with the program since 2015, a veteran presence for them on the interior. And then Reggie DeManche has been great at middle linebacker, a veteran player who has rallied to the football, solid tackler. So I think if Stony Brook's back end of the secondary is able to match, I mean, they're going to have to, you know, play at their best if they're going to want to keep up with Oregon skill guys. If, you know, whether it's getting eyes on Verdell, getting eyes on Brown, defending the zone read, that's what Stony Brook will have to be disciplined at, reading their keys. But I think it's a defense that has pieces, and I think they're a little amped in sort of the turnover department to make some plays and take the ball away.
Folks, I promised you a Stony Brook football education like you'd never seen before. And Sam Niederman has delivered. Great stuff, my friend, top to bottom. Keep up with Sam on Twitter. It's at Sam Niederman, obviously, going to be a part of the radio call for this huge one with Oregon and Stony Brook. Hey, Sam, really appreciate the time. Great getting a chance to talk with you. Wishing everybody safety, sanity, and safe travels. And thanks so much for joining us. Really means a lot.
You got it, Steve. Thank you for having us, and enjoy the weekend.
All right, take it easy.